On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers and top Republican lawmakers met Friday for the first time in 6 months on COVID relief legislation. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told WKOW-TV.
There are all new issues from where we were in the spring. Of course, we know some strategies work. We know some others have fallen significantly behind where we want. And that's why I think it's up to us not to rehash old battles or try to score political points.
They called the meeting productive. Evers produced a $541 million package of COVID measures. What do you want out of state government in this crisis? What is urgently needed? We're at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. So after months of not meeting or talking, the governor and the Republican leaders met, which is a step forward toward addressing the COVID crisis. What happened at Friday's meeting?
So we got some pretty positive feedback from both the governor and legislative leaders about Friday's meeting. As you mentioned, it was the first one in quite a while between the governor and leaders. They used words like positive, productive. I think it was notable that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the new Senate Majority Leader, Devin LeMahieu, said that there were things that they agreed with the governor on. They noted that there were things that they didn't agree with him on. Perhaps not surprisingly, we know they've had some disagreements about COVID-19 policies in the past, obviously. But it sounds like there's some common ground there, and they're looking to work on it.
Yeah, where was the common ground specifically? Where did they find some agreement?
So we don't have that kind of specific yet, unfortunately, but we know some of the things that the speaker in particular pushed back on after the governor's package of proposals came out. He said one thing that he didn't see getting traction in the assembly was a proposed moratorium on evictions in Wisconsin. In response to the pandemic, he said that he didn't think that that was an appropriate response. So we know that's a concrete example of something they don't agree on.
What is their timeline for talking again? Do we know?
We don't. So we know that the conversations about, you know, having COVID-19 legislation, a second bill, legislators already passed one COVID-19 bill in mid-April of this year. So quite a while ago, obviously. Conversations about this have been kind of swirling for the past several months, right? And it's been obviously a slow moving train. They haven't had those meetings. This was the first meeting in a while. When Speaker Voss has spoken about it, he has said previously that he wouldn't expect there to be legislation on the floor of either chamber until the next session begins, which is in January. And obviously January is getting ever closer. So, you know, we're getting kind of in a tight window here where the current legislature only has about a month left for them to meet if they're going to do so about this. So it's a pretty compressed time frame if they want to get it done before the new legislature is sworn in early January.
We're talking about the state's response to COVID with Laurel White. She's Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter. You can join in what you see out of lawmakers right now in this crisis, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Tom in Madison with thoughts. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was just thinking it's a nice thing that Robin Voss and the Republicans are finally meeting with Tony Evers, but let's not give them too much praise, because they're the people that walked out of the emergency session after 15 minutes and gaveled out. They're the people that have been blocking the mask mandate statewide for months. They still have no plan whatsoever. They have a list of priorities, but that's it. And Robin Voss, last time I talked to his office, is still talking about the fact that he will not support a mask mandate no matter what. So I don't see anything going on at all. Republicans nationwide haven't offered a health care plan since the Nixon administration in 1969. So I'm kind of loath to believe that.
All right, Tom, thank you for that. Is it clear, Laurel, what they're working toward?
It isn't clear. I mean, you asked when the next meeting is, when they might be meeting on the floor. I feel like these things are all very kind of amorphous right now.
Squishy.
We don't know. Squishy. That's a great word for it. Very squishy. Look at me using 10,000 amorphous. So I think we're just going to have to wait and see. I think that the fact that they did meet and we got positive feedback from all parties involved last week is a huge step forward for this, but there are a lot of hurdles.
Well, let's look at something that's not as squishy. Evers put forward a package of 19 bills totaling $541 million for pandemic response. What are your top line takeaways of this package?
So I think the big ones that stuck out to me were things that sounded pretty familiar from what we had in mid-April from the last COVID bill. These are kind of extensions of things that had already been done, like lifting that 1 week waiting period for unemployment benefits in Wisconsin, some changes to state insurance laws aimed at ensuring that insurers cover COVID-19 testing and treatment. There was that provision about evictions that I mentioned a couple minutes ago, where there would be a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures for a certain amount of time as the pandemic continues. And then some changes to things like how pharmacists fill prescriptions, workers' comp claims in COVID-19, and standardized testing for public schools being suspended for an amount of time.
Going back to the first thing you mentioned on unemployment, wanting to suspend the 1 week waiting period for unemployment insurance, and that would be through the end of next year. Currently, is it true the waiting period is set to go back into effect at the end of this year?
I think so. Yeah. So that's what happened in the first COVID-19 package, was they suspended it for that set amount of time, right? Not really knowing how long this pandemic was going to go on, how it was going to evolve. And so this is just a refresher, basically a proposed refresher to say we still need this this change, this temporary lift in place because of where we are kind of socially and economically in the pandemic.
So when you looked at these priorities, and specifically here on education, waiving student assessments and school report card requirements for the 2020-2021 school year, what do you make of that in this package?
Well, that's something that the governor's talked about before. Obviously, he has a strong history being the former education secretary, Department of Public Instruction head for Wisconsin. He knows a lot about this stuff and is very engaged with it. And it's just something that his administration has deemed is appropriate for the kind of educational climate that we've got right now in Wisconsin. You know, obviously students and teachers are working in a different way than they have before. And so just kind of lifting that testing is something that he has said is important to do, so as not to, you know, penalize or kind of sort of apply the standards of a different life and a different time to what folks are going through right now.
We're getting up to speed on developments at the Capitol as Wisconsin is in a grave fight with COVID. Laurel White is WPR's state Capitol reporter. What do you think it will take to slow the spread in our state? Where should Wisconsin put its remaining CARES Act federal relief money before the end of the year? What do you think of lawmakers and the governor meeting over the phone for the first time in 6 months? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Laurel White here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump paid for recounts in Dane and Milwaukee counties. The recount is underway. Election workers raise their right hand and are sworn in Friday at the Wisconsin Center in downtown Milwaukee.
Swear and affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin.
That, courtesy of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Trump campaign claims widespread fraud. What do you want to know about how the recount is being handled, the timeline, what happens next? It's 800-642-1234. We have WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White as our guide. Let's bring in another call. Now Mary Kay is joining us from Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Good morning. I'd like to talk about evictions. Some people need to be evicted. Okay, there are some drug houses and subsidized housing and other organized crime. Okay, they need to give CGB funding to cities and counties so they can start building rooming houses. Okay, and we have to stop the neglect of these non-for-profit subsidized housing that have mice, bugs, and other things that need fixing. They need to hire the poor to do it.
Mary Kay, what would you like to see the legislature do as COVID, rages on, and in terms of eviction when people are out of work?
Well, when people are out of work, they can start fixing up some of the subsidized housing they get paid for anyway.
Mary Kay, thanks for that. Laurel, you know, the Department of Health Services would be allowed to issue an order prohibiting evictions and foreclosures in this package. What do you see there?
So I think it's really unlikely that this proposal is going to move forward. That was one of the few things that Speaker Voss specifically called out when he had a press availability last week that he doesn't support, and said he doesn't believe that there's support for that within the Republican Assembly caucus. So I don't see that that's going to get anywhere near the governor's desk for a signature.
Let's bring in Charlotte in Milwaukee. Hi, Charlotte.
Oh, hey, I was just wondering with the CARES Act or any act, are there any provisions for mental health for a lot of the children that are having, you know, issues? I'm hearing that a lot of kids are depressed about not being able to go to school.
Yeah, are funds being directed from the federal dollars toward mental health, Laurel?
That's a good question, and one that I don't know off the top of my head. That would be something that we'd have to look into. I know that mental health has been something that the governor has mentioned in the past, and the governor has allocated almost all of that federal CARES Act money at this point. All of that has to be spent by December 31st. So digging into what the CARES Act went to in Wisconsin, I would not be surprised if some of it went to mental health services because the governor has brought that up. But I don't know for sure off the top of my head.
All right, let's bring in Steve in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve. What would you like to say about ICU beds?
Yeah, back on March 20th, Andrea Palm was quoted on NPR as saying we had 2,500 ICU beds and that we needed to ramp that up because we would have a second wave in fall. That was a direct quote from Andrea Palm on NPR. If I look at the WH website right now, we have, I think, about 1,500 ICU beds, even though we got millions upon millions upon millions of dollars from the federal government to increase our ability to handle COVID. What happened to the money?
So, Steve, in wondering about the diminishing number of ICU beds that he's seeing, do you have insight there, Laurel?
I don't. I think what I would say about that is that we know that the state effort in terms of increasing bed capacity has gone to things like creating that overflow facility in Milwaukee. Now, that's not for ICU patients. That's for individuals who are in a much less severe situation, but it's taking them out of hospital settings to open up some of the beds in hospital settings for other individuals. That's what I know we can point to in terms of state investment for expanding beds. State investment in expanding ICU beds is something that I'm not sure what has happened in that regard.
Have you heard any talk about expanding the number of field hospitals?
I know that there is a plan that could be tapped by state officials to build another field hospital like the one we have in Milwaukee in Madison. But it hasn't reached the level of exploring that more concretely at this point. But I know the plans have been sketched out so officials can kind of begin that process quickly if they need to.
And we're talking with Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and looking at the state response to COVID with your insights, your questions, 800-642-1234. Laurel, let's look at the recount situation. You've been closely following the partial recount, which started Friday in Madison and Milwaukee. Can you set the scene for us? What is the Madison recount like?
So I spent some time at the Madison recount on Friday morning. It's a very different sort of atmosphere than our presidential recount in 2016, which I also covered. They're using the Monona Terrace this year in Madison, which is, some folks might know, a big convention center. They're using a massive room on one of the lower levels of the Monona Terrace. They have a lot of long tables set up, plexiglass barriers between election officials and observers. And there are a lot of observers. Really, it's incomparable to what we saw in 2016. I spoke with Monona Terrace officials, and they said they didn't have an exact estimate on the number of observers who had come into the facility as of, you know, kind of early afternoon on Friday, but they said it was at least a couple hundred, which I think is very safe to say, particularly supporters of the president there to watch the retallying of ballots, and if they want to raise some challenges to ballots that they think shouldn't be counted.
Would any observers talk with you?
They would not. So I tried. I gave it a good college try to kind of walk around and safely chat with people, you know, keeping our distance, and everyone had masks on at the facility, as is required by election officials. I got some pretty strongly worded no's from some of the Trump supporters that were there saying they didn't want to speak to me. One woman did start speaking with me, and then her friends kind of came in and hushed her and kind of cut things off. And I heard them say, we're not supposed to talk to anyone. So I think the policy there, they've been instructed not to engage with press. And so it's really difficult, if, you know, impossible, basically, to kind of get the perspective of the folks that have taken time out of their day, out of their lives, to go down and be in this big cavernous room at the Monona Terrace to watch vote retallying.
You know, the AP said that the Milwaukee County recount is taking place, and it's turned pretty bitter and chaotic at times, with observers slowing down the process. Do you have any insights there, or did you see that at all in Madison?
So this is what happens there, Kate. When the morning starts, or when the morning started, this is concretely what happened on Friday. The Trump campaign lodged some big complaints, some sort of sweeping complaints that applied to a lot of ballots in three major categories. And so officials weighed those responses of whether they were going to throw the ballots out or not. In both Milwaukee and Madison, the boards of canvass rejected the Trump organization, the campaign's request to throw out these big categories of ballots, but they had a standing objection applied to any ballots that fell within those categories. So that kind of took away a lot of the ballot challenges that folks might make over the course of the day, because kind of the big things the Trump campaign was targeting were already taken care of, right? Mm. So the room that was left for these individual observers to challenge things are other issues that weren't covered by these big categories. And we definitely saw that happening on a case-by-case basis with ballots. So as those observers are up on the other side of the plexiglass and election officials are going ballot by ballot, an observer can say, show me that ballot more carefully, more closely. I think I see something wrong with that. I object to it. And then the election worker puts that in a different pile. In Madison, there was a pink post-it on top of the pile that said objections, and they just kind of go about it that way. I didn't see that happening in a contentious way or in an incredibly widespread way when I was at the Madison facility. That wasn't the case in Milwaukee. We heard that there were a lot of challenges, especially as the weekend progressed, where there were so many of those individual challenges, it was really slowing down the proceedings.
we're on the brink of a COVID vaccine. Has there been any talk among lawmakers or the administration about how the rollout will happen in Wisconsin?
That's something that state officials have been talking about for several weeks now, kind of getting this infrastructure in place for distributing a COVID vaccine. So we know that it's absolutely on their radar. It's something that they've been paying attention to, but we don't have, a concrete plan out as of right now that's completely set in stone for that.
Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Representative John Nygren of Marinette. We'll get his take on COVID relief legislation, what Republicans aim to do, how to tackle the unemployment claims backlog. What do you want to ask the lawmaker? 800-642-1234. State Cap continues with Representative Nygren after a news update on the Ideas Network.